Father, I thank you for what you've done in 21 years. It's amazing to me. The times you've dragged me, and times you've propped me up, and the times you've trumpeted. Father, I just so appreciate your presence. Never want to take advantage of that. Never want to overlook it. Never want to look at ourselves too long. But I see miracles when I look out over these chairs. And I thank you that you keep doing what you do and being who you are. The church said amen. Yeah. So the book of Acts, my glasses, we did remember them. We didn't.
I got them. They're deep pockets in your Levi's.
Deep pockets. Deep roots, deep pockets. Well, I forgot them this morning, and I looked in my bag, and they weren't there. And I looked in my bag again, and they weren't there. And then my daughter looked in my bag, and they were there. So it could be a miracle. That's what I'm just saying, or it could just be me. But the recap of the book of Acts so far, we got this. The book of Acts in two sentences. You ready? God's Spirit in his followers. God's Spirit in his followers. God's Spirit in his followers. Logan, you're so handsome this morning. I just knows you back there. See him back there. Love my brother. Just so sweet. God's Spirit in his followers. And the second sentence isn't really a sentence. It's this. Paul, people, prison, persecution, Battlestar Galactica. You know, it's everything. It's just, it's full on for Paul. He's trying to do stuff. It's just, God's doing miracles, and Paul's getting the tar beat out of him most of the time and thrown in prison and unjustly accused of stuff. And people saying stuff he didn't say and misinterpreting stuff he did say. He's like, bro, ever have that happen? You know what the problem is this in communication? 65% of divorce is for the lack of and miscommunication. 65%. We all think we do it good. I do it for a living and I still screw it up. But then Paul did and I felt okay about it for a second. But sometimes we do that. But the folks that are doing this with Paul are twisting his words intentionally and they're stirring up stuff. And Paul's having to eat a bunch of garbage that makes me mad. And we left off with him in the midst of, the, remember the guy that had him in prison for a while? Well, that's where we leave off. Acts 25, 1 through 5. 3 days after Festus arrived in Caesarea to take over his new responsibility. So the first dude, like, postponed him for 2 years. Remember? I'll get you a court case. You want to pay me a little money, I'll get there quicker. You got a little something, something for me, Paul? A little miracle, something? What you got? You know? Well, no, 2.5 years. 3 days after this Festus dude arrives in Caesarea, he takes over his new responsibilities. He left for Jerusalem. Where the leading priests and other Jewish leaders met him instantly and made accusations against Paul. They asked Festus as a favor, because that last guy liked favors, you know? That's how the world used to work a lot of times. Do me a favor, you know? You get caught in the world I grew up in owing too many favors? Not good. Not good. Don't owe some of the people that wanted to do you a favor back from my hometown. Don't do them a favor. I mean, trust me. They'll help you, but they if you don't pay the favor back, Caruana, right? It's not a good favor. Right? He's like, don't, Pastor, don't bring me into the message. Italians stay what Italians say, you know. But they asked Festus for a favor to transfer Paul to Jerusalem. Like, hey, do us a solid, bro. We just got in town. Like, we're the big shots in town. Do us a favor. Transfer Paul to Jerusalem, planning to ambush and kill him on the way. Remember the vow guys? Remember they vowed not to eat, not to drink, not to do anything until they killed him. I wonder what, this is 2.5 years later, or how boys are doing. They're like, how are they doing with that vow? If they kept it, it's, you know, it's a whole lot of death. You know, vows starve yourself to death. You got to be careful of your vows. For in both Old and New Testament also, this is pretty clear. Like for those guys, it's pretty clear. If you read the Old Testament, New Testament, there's some stuff that's like, it's not different. It may be revealed, but it's not different. Like people, that's completely different. No, it's not different. It's the same God revealed, right? So the Old New Testament, it's pretty clear that on the murdering part of thing, it's a no bueno. It's like it's in the top 10. And if he gives him 10, he's like, let me put that on there. You know, history actually seems to show this Festus guy, he's a pretty fair and just guy. And he wasn't about favors and bribes. He was trying to do his job. Imagine that in politics. Move on. But Festus replied that Paul was at Caesarea, and he himself would be returning there soon. So he said, those of you in authority can return with me. If Paul has done anything wrong, all you are not proven. I don't know who you are. I'm not buying your side of the story just because you accused him, just because you want me to do a favor. Honestly, that crew seems the opposite bit of proven, right? They seem sketchy. They have a history of sketch. Say, don't be sketchy. Don't be sketchy. They're a little sketchy. You're like, well, do us a favor. Don't you guys want to murder people? No, we're fine. It's good. You know, look over there. If Paul's done anything wrong, you could make your accusations at that time. So here's some sweet takeaways. This was in Paul's favor. Festus is known as an honest, fair guy, unlike Felix, that cat, right? I know you got it. He wasn't gonna do me a favor, guy. He wasn't gonna do that, right? And here's a takeaway from life: limit how much you trust the proven sketchy. I'm just saying, limit. Like, I met this guy; we're good friends. He wants to sell you that car. It's only got three tires, man. The fourth one's in the trunk. It's brand new. We just can't get the trunk open. No, that's sketchy, man. I ain't buying that. X25, it's super fun so far. And really tasty pre-picnic morsels to be had. It's not what I would pick as like 20th anniversary. I wanted to send you out going, ooh, through the tunnel going, yeah, high-fiving, float barely off the ground. Like, wasn't the 21st anniversary service? Like, wow. You know? No, it's not going to be like that. We're in X25. So that's where we are. But I hope the picnic's like, wow, you know. X25, 6 through 7. About 8 or 10 days later, Festus returned to Caesarea. And on the following day, he gets right to office after an 8-day trip. And it's not like us taking Allegiant somewhere. You know, he's not on Club Med. He's on dusty trails, right? Bouncing around in the cabin, maybe of a coach. About 8, 10 days later, he shows up the next day on the following day. Why is that important? Festus is a keeper of his word. And here's my pullover. When we give our word, this guy doesn't even know Christ. When we give our word, should we do our utmost to keep it too, even when it's hard? Man, some things are hard. Some things we got to be careful we throw your word to, right? Like, yeah, I'll be there at the party. Like, dude, why'd you say that? You're not getting home till midnight. You can't make that party. I got to go. And I've dragged myself to those things before because I gave it. I'm trying to be, I'm not perfect. I'm less than Paul by like 85%. But I really try hard to be a guy that keeps my word. I try not to throw it out there. I do. And so when I see a guy that doesn't even know Jesus keep his word, it means something. Like, I bond with guys like that. I have friends that don't know Jesus yet, but they have these characters and morals that I connect with. And they're good men that are on their way to serving God. I got a buddy getting baptized. Now he knows Jesus. He's going to come out and get baptized, you know. So I love when people keep their word. And I think we as the church, and I'm the church, can be better at that, right? He took his seat in the court and ordered that Paul be brought in. When Paul arrived, the Jewish leaders from Jerusalem gathered around. They gathered around and made serious accusations. Accusations that they couldn't prove. I got a picture of what the scene may look like in my head. It's just a bunch of vultures, you know, they're just circling around. Paul's just following them around. He said he's the body of death. Yeah, follow him around. We'll be part of it. Pick him clean, you know. These guys are vultures. And that's how I see things when I read my Bible. I'm just saying. Here's the point. They couldn't prove. You know why they couldn't prove anything? Because it didn't happen. They had no picks. You know, no picks. Thank goodness when I grew up, there wasn't technology that you have today. I've been doing jail time, but not for like Paul reasons, you know? No pics of that moment. Thank you, Jesus, you redeemed that. You know, anybody else been redeemed from stuff like worth? Thank you, Jake. You're always there for me. I appreciate it. They had no saved text messages. They had no witnesses and no cameras. No, nothing. They had no evidence of any kind. Of any kind. And nothing that even looked sketchy. Say, don't be sketchy. So they didn't have anything, right? Acts 25, 8 through 9. Paul denied the charges. I'm not guilty of any crime against the Jewish laws or the temple or the Roman government for that fact. Then Festus, he wanted to please the Jews. He didn't make them do anything, so he had to ask. He's like, well, Paul, I'm not going to tell you to do it like Felix, but do you want to go back to Jerusalem for trial? Are you willing to go back there and stand trial before me? Acts 25:10-12. Paul replied, no, I don't want to go back there. No, nope, this is of the official Roman court, so I ought to be tried right here. Then he says this very interesting statement. You know very well my story, man. I'm proving that I popped off here and there, but here's my story. It's easy to track me, bro. My name's popping up all over the Roman Empire, all over Greece, and not because there's Facebook. It's not because I'm an influencer. It's because God's doing things across the world. The church is growing. People are getting healed, saved, set free. Things are changing. You can track that. I'm not perfect, but you've heard the goodness, right? You had to have. He's going to bring it up. You've heard the good news that I've been spreading ever since. You've heard that. You know very well I'm not guilty of harming the Jews. If I have done something worthy of death, he says, if I've done something worthy of death. So Saul, let's talk about Saul, not just Paul. Saul received Jesus' forgiveness because Saul was worthy of death. I, he says, as Paul, I am willing to own my consequences if I've done stuff. If I'm worthy of it, I'll own that. Man, that's something to learn, isn't it? If I'm worthy of that, I'll own that. If I'm worthy of that, if I'm worthy of death, I'll own that. If I've done something worthy of death, I don't refuse to die. But he says, I'm innocent. No one has a right to turn me over to these men to kill me right now. I appeal to Caesar. Imagine that, like in our country. I appeal to President Trump. Like, dude, you're going to be waiting a while. I bet he's got a list bigger than you to deal with right now. I bet Russia's list is bigger than, you know. Just, I appeal to Caesar. So Festus is like, dude wants to go see Caesar. Festus conferred with his advisors and replied, very well. You have appealed to Caesar, so Caesar's going to go. You know what's great? Is Festus keeps his word. Festus keeps his words. Paul's willing to continue, check it this way, in his opportunities to spread the gospel. See, I'm thinking, man, jail longer, I'm going to be going. Actually, this is probably heading me towards my execution that he said was coming. I'm not looking forward to that. Think about that for a minute. That's where he's at. That's where he's at. Paul says, I'm going to continue with this opportunity. I'm going to continue sharing the goodness of the truth of Jesus, no matter what. No matter what hardships, no matter what beatings, no matter what prison stays. The prison season, though, if you look at the, here's the hard part. This is like you swallow. If this is where I had to swallow. I have to swallow this before I share it with you. Trust me, it's caught my throat a couple times this week. The prison season is actually what preserved Paul's life. To take him something this way, they're going to kill him. No, you're in prison. Well, for how long? Until I get you where you need to go. Why? Because the prison's saving your life right now. I know. I just said repeat it twice, Amber. That's all I'm going to do. That should make it easier on us to be obedient in the places he places us, because I guarantee it's not like 5 AD prison. Whatever you're at is not 5 AD prison. Maybe you can feel bad for yourself, take pictures of your life. It's not 5 AD prison. Right. How are we doing as the church, you know? How are we doing with sharing the gospel even when life isn't going great? Well, you know, if I was an old school Pentecostal, I'm a Catholic that got through the Holy Spirit. I don't know what we are now. People ask me, I'm like, I love Jesus, filled with the Holy Spirit, gifts, everything's in order as we can be. I don't know. I'm somewhere on the spectrum of just trying to be like Jesus. But how are we doing, you know, as a full gospel, spirit-filled church, how are we doing and sharing Jesus, and even when life is great, let alone when it isn't great, right? Say, I'm the church now. I'm the church now. How are we doing? I'm going to share with some hard questions before the next scripture. Only three, though, right now. Come on, it's picnic mood. I wouldn't do five, Christian. Totally bum the picnic right out. Number one, how are we doing sharing God in our hardships? Number two, is God using your prison sentence to preserve you? I really feel like picnicking is going to be good. Number three, is this prison season actually a part of God's plan or not? Yeah. So that, I thought that would make it a better question. I'm so glad Paul made the most of his opportunities. If he didn't, none of us would be here taking advantage of ours. Making the most of your opportunities. Say, I'm the church now. Say, I'm Acts 3. I'm Acts 3, yeah. Acts 25, 13 through 6. A few days later, King Agrippa arrived with his sister Bernice to pay their respects to Festus. I want to give you some background. We're slow rolling here. This is going to be uncomfortable. Agrippa is Jewish.
Okay.
He's educated in Roman culture. He's an expert in all customs and controversies related to the Jews. He's the authority over the temple, the one who takes the high priest and puts him in place. He anoints him. And he's the brother of Bernice. Here's the crazy part. As I looked up history, rumors that lasted from back then till now in Rome and in the Hebrew culture said they didn't look like their typical brother-sister relationship. It appeared to have some sketchiness to it. Say, don't appear sketchy. Yeah, so I was like, oh, okay. And then later on, it comes up later, and I go, oh, okay, I get it. During their stay of several days, Festus discussed Paul's case with the king. Why? Because he's an expert. Remember I said he was an expert in all that stuff. He says, during their stay of several days, Festus discussed his case. There is a prisoner here, he told him, whose case was left to me by Felix. Yeah, thanks, that guy's sketchy. He left me this thing. Like, you ever get something left at work? You expect it to be done, you get to work, like, that Bernice left. She didn't clean the grill. She told me she cleaned the grill. I saw her clock out, and she clocked out early that night. Uh-huh. I think she drove off with her boyfriend. Bernice did not clean the grill. Left it for me. Sketchy, Bernice. Felix left me that case. Thanks, Felix. When I was in Jerusalem, the leading priests and Jewish leaders pressed charges against him and asked me to condemn him. I pointed out to them, Roman law does not convict people without trial. Bravo, Rome. I'm glad that hasn't changed, right? Mm-hmm. Glad that hasn't changed. They must be given an opportunity, to confront their accusers and defend themselves. Here's a small point. It's the overuse of it, the underuse of it. There are times defending yourself can be good when you're attacked. When God gives you the opportunity. Acts 25, 17 through 22. When his accusers came here for the trial, I didn't delay. Man, this dude is on it. Festus is in his corner. If you want a guy that doesn't know Jesus, but he's trying to get the right thing done, you're like, thank goodness I had to stay in prison for 2 years. I didn't realize if Felix could have paid off, he would have, I think him over the right sum of money, the dude before he would have, whoosh, Paul been dead. 2.5 years, stuck here, woe's me, everything's prison. I hate the food, you know? But as soon as this other cat gets in, he's like, man, I didn't delay. Kept my word. I called the case the very next day and ordered Paul brought in. But the accusations made against him weren't of any crimes I expected. Instead, it was something about their religion and a dead man named Jesus. A dead man named Jesus, who Paul insists is alive. That's the point of this whole thing. Paul said, no, he was dead. That's how I changed. Like, I was about killing these cats, and I was persecuting them. And then that Jesus that was dead showed up on the road, and boom, my life changed. Anybody's life changed like that? Like, you're on that one road, and all of a sudden Jesus went, and you're like, okay, I'm not talking trash about that anymore. That's real. Yeah. A dead man named Jesus, who Paul insists is alive. He insists it. And he's proven it, too, because every place Paul goes, something crazy happens. The church grows. God shows up. So it's not just like my word against yours. He's like, check my track record. I'm an influencer. Greece is blowing up. 2,000 followers, you know. Paul's insisted he was alive, so I was at a loss to know how to investigate these things. So I asked him whether he'd be willing to stand trial on these charges in Jerusalem. But Paul appealed to have his case decided by the emperor. So I ordered that he be held in custody until we could arrange to send him to Caesar. I'd like to hear the man myself, Agrippa said. And Festus replied, tomorrow. I'm the church now. How good are we at keeping our word like this, Festus cat? He is on it. You know, he is on it. Just so appreciate him. Acts 25, 23 through 27. Don't worry, we're landing here in a little bit, Nana. I know you're like, I saw the puddings. I've you probably checked. Remember I brought stuff in and I saw you like, I'm greeting today. You're like, well, so did that aluminum foil. I know. I'll get your notes later. Okay. Acts 25, 23 through 27. So the next day, Agrippa and Bernice, again, here's some mature content. I'll do my best. It's the word. And this is history. After Bernice's two husbands' death, she had two and then they died. She lived with her brother in what seemed to be a sketchy thing. And then later on, she marries this emperor named Titus. This cat's not very good. Say, don't be sketchy. There's both these people, including Festus, all three of them are hearing the same good news. Bernice is going to hear the same thing that Agrippa hears. They're going to come away with a different feeling on that. Bernice goes, I'm going to stay sketchy. You know, I'm saying sketchy, you know. I just want to say, they arrived at the auditorium with great pomp. Like, you know, they brought in TMZ, flash mob, Bernice and Agrippa are in town, right? Accompanied by military officers and prominent men of the city. What an opportunity. Boy, there's a lot of people coming up in here. Festus ordered that Paul be brought in. Then Festus said, King Agrippa and all who are here, like I invited you guys and you brought everyone. Right on. This is the man whose death is demanded by all the Jews, both here and in Jerusalem. But in my opinion, he's done nothing to deserve death. However, since he appealed his case to the emperor, I've decided to send him to Rome. But here's my problem. What do I write the emperor? For there is no clear charge against him. There's nothing I can say. There's not even something sketchy. I can't go, well, he was sketchy. Like, he was, you know, just look at him. He's got, like, locusts in his beard. No, that's the wrong guy, dude. It's not him. Oh, he just looks sketchy. There's no clear charge against him. So I brought him here before you, and especially you, King Agrippa, so that after we examine him, I might have something to write, for it makes no sense. Say, it makes no sense. It makes no sense. Does it make no sense? It makes no sense. Here's a hard thing about making no sense. You ready? This is going to hurt. Happy picnic. It makes no sense. If it's God, it doesn't have to. That's hard on Picnic Sunday. But it makes no sense as a fine answer if it's God's hard plan for Paul. Paul knew, I got to go do this. Sometimes I'm a guy that wants everything to make sense. I spend my nights not sleeping trying to make a lot of sense of stuff I will never be able to make the sense of. But someday I will figure it out, and then I'll still wrestle with it. Yo, you guys don't sleep either. See, I got the right crowd. But some things are God that don't need to make sense, but they're God. You just got to do them because your prison may be protecting you. Watch out, picnic. Hard plans are still God plans. It don't need to make sense. I'm so grateful that I didn't have the calling of Paul. Everyone likes to label themselves stuff. You ever do that? You ever meet people and they're like, hey, I'm apostle, prophet. I have the spirit of Titus. If anyone says I'm Ebenezer, run from that guy. He just said, pick the name. Like, dude, don't say away, you know. But you don't ever have that happen? Well, Paul's proven himself. He's got this title for what he does. He could have, like, oh, no, cool, let's do it here. I'm guilty. I'm innocent from that. He said, no, it doesn't make any sense to send this prisoner to the emperor without specifying charges against him. Paul knew, I got to have a bigger stage. Why? I'm going to give my life for something bigger. That's what my Savior did for me. He asked the same thing of me. That's not fair. No, I was, if I'm Paul, to be honest with you, I justify stuff. Ever justify stuff? Don't ever do that. You don't have to be held to your things. Once the Son sets free from your sin is set free indeed. And there's so many things that I do not have consequences in my life that I should have consequences for. Don't call me out, Pastor. It's like, Don. No, but I know that. And there's so many things that I have consequences in my life that it's a good thing I had consequences. Because I was heading towards my own good thoughts and out of the prison and making my own way. Not following the way, just making my own way as a better man. Try to make my way as a better man and end up broken. And then I had to walk a different way. So I'm just saying, I kind of understand him a little bit. If Paul goes, I was there when they killed Stephen. I deserve to get my head. That's who I am. Doesn't mean God's that way. But I can understand Paul going, hey, I can get all the way to Rome. And I know what it looks like. Why? I got a price to pay. You paid a price for me. I'm going to pay a price for you, and I'm going to keep my word. I'm not saying he's that old school, but I feel that from Paul sometimes. Before we go to the picnic and try to enjoy and forget about everything I just said, about all the hard stuff, if you know someone that's sick and discouraged in here or elsewhere, and you know that this week, please pray for them. It's everywhere. Every pastor I've talked to, every person I've talked to, I have this. I told him, I texted him today. This is not fair to him, but it's going to happen to him anyways. I texted my buddy Chris Coletta, who's coming out to get baptized, and he had this statement, and I should read it exactly, but I'm going to give you the intention of it. He said, hey, Capozzi, I got a question for you. Does this sound crazy to you? Now, remember, he was a Catholic guy who just found Jesus in our conversation, read his Bible, got filled with the Holy Spirit, and said, I want to get baptized. That's where he's at in his journey. He's like, he's got his pedal to the metal flying, right? I'm just so proud of what God's doing in his life. But he said this statement to me that just kind of woke me up again. Sometimes you need someone fresh in to wake you up again. He said this to me, goes, do you think it's possible, ever since I made a decision to get baptized, I feel like all hell's been pressed against me. And I said, oh, that's true, it is. Hell's giving up a soldier for good. And it's going to do whatever it can. And I feel that everywhere, that like hell's been trying to assault us, but greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. And that's the part of Acts. We are Act 3, but with him in us, no principality, power, rulers, and high places can stand. That's truth. So we're coming to baptism. I'm saying if you have not been baptized, you've not like done that yet, like I've been putting it off, or you've like, I didtwo and a half. My parents went, I'm going to boom, baptized. But you've never made the commitment to Jesus yourself. Bring a pair of shorts Sunday and a t-shirt. Yeah, and if you forget it, I'll send them over with my card to Walmart and we'll try to figure out your size. I'm not speaking, Pastor Justin is. I'm good to see you in here with babies and fighting sickness and hell's been against you. And I'm like, I didn't think I'd see you this morning. But come out because he's got a word. He said, I got a word about baptism. I feel like God put this on my heart. So I'm like, okay, Pastor Justin. He doesn't ask for that time very often. I usually try to tag him in when I need a break. He's like, I got something. So before we get into next week and before we picnic, pray for the sick and discouraged because you're not alone. It's everywhere. If you know a Christian right now, doesn't mean there's not victories out there. I started looking around, I look at you, I get victory. Like I keep looking at the people, I just want to, I went from discouraged to Spider-Man. You know, I feel, anyway, sorry. Almost to the picnic. Stand up if you understand this, that following God means going anywhere he says and doing anything he asks you to do. Stand for him if you understand that. If you don't, you don't have to stand up and pretend you do. It's okay. Seriously, three. Lift one hand, just one hand. You choose the hand because it's all about making choices. Lift one hand if the gospel is awesome. And lift the other hand if God has been personally awesome to you in any way. Look around. These are your people. These are your people. I'm just saying, these are your people. God in his way is still awesome, even if our life is hard. You can put your hands down because I want you to be able to play games at the picnic. Okay. How his followers follow today matters. So share the gospel with those in your life. When life is smooth, share him. When life is hard, share him. And then tag someone in for prayer. Right. You're Acts 3. So today, this is what I want from the church. I want you to go be family today in the park. I want you to go be a body today in the park. I want you to go be an army prayed up today in the park. Not wherever you're walking around, you know, the visitors, and or you're walking around people in the park praying in tongues. Don't do that. If I had a fly sword, I'd go, tsk-ha! But God may bring someone to you. You'll be shocked at picnics, the number of people that have prayed for that God has just done a thing. That don't come any other time of year, but they're at picnics and they're out there, you know. Just saying. So be an army and be encouraged because you're his living love letter. You are. And look for opportunities this week and opportunities this year. And I pray that we all do this in Jesus' name today. You ready? Father, help us be the church, the one that loves you, the one that loves others. And Father, I pray that I be less irritating than I usually am to everyone. And I pray that they be less irritating. And we, Father, fit together because we're all messy. And we would be a good picture of who you are today to each other and any other people that you bring to us in the park. Help us take advantage of that opportunity. Lord, bless the food so the folks can eat before I get there. In Jesus' name, amen.